to look at the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. As we said, the commandment prohibits, of course, the acts of adultery and fornication. Really covers the acts of every sexual sin. And we've been looking at the fact that anything outside of the bounds of marriage that promotes or is contributory or arouses sexuality, that of course is condemned by this commandment. We've been looking at several things, of course, that would fall under that category. Evil communications, whether it be an act or word, we've already seen that. We've seen, of course, it condemns pornography. That should go without saying. Condemns all improper touching, which means that we must be very, very careful. I think it's true, even if you're holding someone else's baby or little child, you better be careful. You may not mean a thing by it, but you better be careful where your hands are. It's hard to say what you can be accused of, not by the infant, of course, but by others. These are things that you need to think about. We saw last week that certainly prohibits any environment that would promote sexuality, whether your intent is right or not. There are environments that simply need to be avoided. We just don't have any business being in as a child of God. I have no intention of walking along a beach unless you can give me an absolute guarantee that no one else is going to be there. And then, of course, there's all kinds of environments that provide or make provision for the lust of the flesh. Notice again, if we go to Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, and verse 13, we looked at this verse last week, covers the environments that we talked about. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting, in drunkenness, not in chambering, that's immodest behavior, but would also include anything that would promote immodest behavior. Wantonness, we spent some time on that word. It's talking about that which is lewd or vulgar, obscene. Then notice verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's, of course, the way to accomplish verse 13. And make not provision for the flesh, which is what you're doing if you do verse 13, to fulfill the lusts thereof. And all of these things, especially improper touching, an environment that would promote sexuality leads to our next thing, which is this command forbids dancing that leads to and promotes sexual desire. Many people, both young and old, have tried to justify modern dance upon the fact that there is no thou shalt not in the Bible. Well, that's true about a lot of things. But the lack of such a command does not make sensual dancing acceptable. There's a truth that people have to realize is the Bible does teach by absolute precepts, thou shalt not, or thou shalt. Those are absolute precepts. The Bible lays those down. But the Bible also teaches by principles. And those absolute precepts establish unshakable principles. And that's where people miss the boat. And the ones that miss the boat, believe me, even though they say, well, there's no thou shalt not, they're not that concerned about the thou shalt nots anyway. But we have to realize the Bible does teach absolute precepts. But the Bible teaches by principle as well. And we need to establish our lives by biblical principles. And biblical principles condemn the sensual dance. Now, there are two types of dancing mentioned in the Bible. There is a form of dancing, has a sign of public rejoicing and worship offered up to God. It's like someone's happy because their football team, baseball, whatever. They're jumping up and down. They're excited. That's kind of dancing. There's that kind of dancing. And in the Bible, it never involves contact between people. In the book of Exodus, chapter 15, and people who try to defend the sensual dance will always turn or make reference to these verses. Well, you know, dancing is in the Bible. But we're talking, there's two different types of dancing, and if anyone would read these verses, they could easily see that. In Exodus 15, verse 20, and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And again, this is in reference to the last part of verse 19, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. The miraculous had happened. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. They're rejoicing. They're rejoicing. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. This was a celebratory dance. It was a expression of joy to the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18, we'll read beginning with verse 6 down through verse 8. And the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people, I knew that those verses didn't sound right. I'm on 1 Samuel chapter 18. I might have said 1 Samuel, but I was in 2 Samuel. Verse 6, "And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel." Now, it's not the women and the men here, it's the women. "And they were singing and they were dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?'" But again, they were dancing. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might." It's not dancing with a woman. "David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod." He was covered. "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet." Psalm 149. Psalm 149, verse 3. "Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp." Psalm 150, verse 4, "Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs." Quite different instruments than the sensual dance. Jeremiah 31, verse 13. "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow." Again, we're talking about something in celebration. So all of these verses speak of a type of dance. We get over to Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 4. And it says that there is a time to dance. There's a time to sorrow. Again, he's talking about a time of expressing joy. So this type of dance is celebratory. The sexes do not mingle. And this kind of dance was not characterized by sexual or sensual body movement, but it was more of a leaping for joy. But there are people today who, most of them don't know where these verses are. They just know that someone told them, or they heard it once, or maybe they saw it. There's dancing in the Bible. And try to justify the sensual. And my response is, you got to be kidding, right? You can't be serious. Two completely different things. But there are those who try to justify the sensual or modern dance. And such, to do that is a misrepresentation of God's word. And it is a mishandling of the word of God. Some will say the modern dance is the sensual dance. It's a form of art. Well, perhaps. There's a lot of perverted art in the world too. And then, of course, the Bible speaks of a form of dancing that promoted lust and was sinful. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32, book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 19 and 20. Moses has been up in the mount. People are down below. "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, he saw the calf and he saw the dancing. And they weren't celebrating. I mean, they were basically having an orgy. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mountain. He took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. It was a sensual dance. So they weren't celebrating. We see in Matthew chapter 14, even more obviously, Matthew 14, verses 6 through 8. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them. Not in a celebration way, and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatever she would ask. And you know the story. She asked for the head of John the Baptist. But this type of dance all falls under those words, wantonness, chambering. It was a dance that was done in a lustful way, gratifying fleshly desires, making provision for the flesh, associated with revelry, partying. Again, beware of anything that dulls the moral senses. I don't care if it's music, whatever. Beware of anything that dulls the moral senses. It could be a drug. The list goes on and on. Late hours. Dim lights. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. There's nothing good going on at 2 and 3 in the morning. Late hours, dim lights, scanty clothes, close and indecent bodily contact, none of that can be justified in Scripture. That's all condemned. Sexually provocative and indecent body movements. A lot of so-called entertainers, when they're singing, they have provocative and indecent, suggestive body movements that dulls the moral senses. Suggestive music, and anymore it's not even suggestive, it just says it. But all of these things are condemned. Suggestive music, which incites the baser instincts of people. We all have baser instincts. It's called our flesh. It's called our nature. And we need to beware of anything that incites our baser instincts. That's making provision again for the flesh. All of these things are part of the course of this world. And they're all a road to sexual impurity. Once again, for a parent to allow their children to go to a school dance, you've lost your mind. You've lost your mind. Well, it's harmless. That's ignorance. That's ignorance. Well, I don't want them to feel left out. Believe me, this is something that would be that do them good to be left out of. Some dances imitate some of the intimacies of the marriage bed. That's promiscuous. That's vulgar. That's obscene. And, well, it's entertainment, it's art. No, it's filth. It's filth. And it's condemned by the seventh commandment. So you see, the commandments always, of course, condemn whatever follows the thou shalt not. That goes without saying, that's condemned, even though people doesn't seem to matter. But there's much more to all of these things. It's anything that would lead to, anything that would put you in those situations. This command forbids those things. So the Ten Commandments, though they are simple, thou shalt not, very simplistic, there is a sense in which they are not. They make simple statements, but it goes much further than the simple statement. Next week, we'll look at the fact that the seventh command forbids, because once again, we're talking about anything that arouses sexuality outside of the marriage bed. If a husband and wife want to dance in their house, that's within the bounds of marriage. But we'll look next week at the command forbids, of course, should go without saying, all immodest dress, absolutely forbidden in the seventh commandment. Let's look to the Lord, a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for giving us bounds in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to remind us of the bounds that you have set. Lord, that you would put a hedge around us. Lord, that you would cause us at all times to respect and appreciate the hedges that you do put around us. We thank you, Lord, for these things. We thank you, Lord, for each one here today, for each family represented. We do pray, Lord, for Sister Renee and Reba's family, Lord, that you'd be with them today in a very, very special way, in a way that only you can. We pray, Lord, that you'd help them. We pray that you'd help us to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.